I was just thinking about that portion tonight. You know, just turn with me, in fact. Please turn with me. In Luke chapter 10. And we read about a man. I'm not going to read it all again for the sake of time. You know, as I think about the rates, I think about what God has called us to just at this stage in our lives. You know, we have a challenge time. Whether it's in Hillsborough, whether it's in Port of Down, Sandy Road, Martyrs, wherever, we always have a challenge time. And that's a gospel challenge time where God's word is opened. Someone will give testimony. But you know, God's word is full of challenges. And tonight there's lots of challenges found in God's word. If you turn to chapter 10 of Luke, you will see the challenge in it of a man that was despised. A man that nobody really cared much about. He was from a race that was despised. He was from the Samaritan race. It was like a mixed race. And so the children of Israel, the Israeli people, they really rejected these people. But I want to see what happens. What happened in this particular man's life? I believe it will challenge you. First of all, it's a challenge to love. A challenge to love. Think about this. We can read much in the Bible, in the New Testament, about many different letters, many different things that the Apostle Paul sent along to different other believers. And if you read in Paul's book to the Corinthians, you can read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1, you can read this. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, have not charity, have not love, in other words. So Paul's saying, he's giving advice to these believers and also to us today. And he says, if you have not love, and you read it yourself, I am become as a sounding brass or like a tinkling cymbal. In other words, in this verse, I'm thinking about a few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to go along to the Carnegie 100, the motorbikes. And I went along, and you can hear it at the pits there, or along the road, you'll hear boys revving their motorbikes, okay? And they're revving at them. Plenty of revs going on. That's maybe sounded like a wee Honda 50 there. But anyhow, bigger bikes. And they're revving and revving. And you know, you can, as a young person, I dreamt that I'd be a motorbike rider, and I went to the Northwest and all the rest of it, and you could hear the motorbikes, and they were warming up. But there were young boys there, and they were just revving and revving and revving. And when we were younger, the whole rage was, you got a big sporty exhaust in your car. All right? Big bore exhaust and all the rest of it. You could afford it. Or else, if you couldn't, you just painted it red and made it look like it and took something out of it that made a bigger noise. But you know, sometimes as a young person, and you're in a car, and you were driving along like that, and the noise going up the motorway, you weren't really going any faster, but it made you feel good, and you thought you were. Now, that made me think a wee bit about that verse. You know, Paul talks there very clearly. Read it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or have not love, and become as a tinkling cymbal or as a sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal. In other words, can be making a lot of noise and not going anywhere. You know what? It's so easy to do that. Because if you read in this passage, I read about two boys, and I think I would say tonight they were making a whole lot of noise and going nowhere. There was one, he was called a priest, and there was one, he was called a Levite, and you know, they had maybe were all dressed up in all the gear that they would wear, maybe a bit like today. And they were going along between two cities, and they saw, with their own eyes, they saw a man. He was lying. He was on the ground. He was beaten up. In fact, this week, many of you who were watching the news, we saw the tragic scene that unfolded in London, in our very own capital city, of that young British soldier. And what evil, what tragedy, what violence there was right in front of our eyes. That made me think about this story. This man, he was lying on the ground. He was beat up, maybe the blood coming out of him. He was in bad shape. The Bible tells us he was half dead. And those two men saw him, but they walked on by. This other man, he saw them. What did he do? Did he walk on by? No. What made the difference? Remember I talked about the young boy throwing the starfish out? He made a difference. He was making a difference for one. This man saw this one man, and he was going to make a difference because he had something different. Dear friends, tonight, there was something different about this man. He had a thing that the Bible calls, and you can read it for yourself in verse 33, he had compassion. He had love for it to help this man in the situation that he found himself in. There's three men. Two of them walked on by. The one made a difference. I wonder tonight, Christian, are you going to make a difference? Or are you someone that walks on by? If I asked you in the past 6 months, whose life have you made a difference in? Have you made someone's life a nightmare? Or have you made a difference for good, for God? Think about that. Stop for a minute. We're going into the mirror of God's word. What do you say? Are you making a difference? Or do you walk on by? It's difficult to make a difference. It takes effort. It takes action. But the very first thing we saw there, we saw love. We had compassion. And it was that love that spurred him into action. What a mighty picture this is of the Lord Jesus. See, God looks down and he saw man and all his helplessness and all his sin and all the stuff in his life. And there was no way he was going to heaven, but he was going to the place that the Bible calls hell, prepared for the devil and his angels. But you know, God in his love, in John chapter 3 and 16, you can read about it yourself. God so loved the world that he gave a love that action. There was action here. God sent his only son, his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it tells us in Romans 5 and 8 that God, he commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I wonder, have you responded to that love? This man, he was lying there, half dead. And we can read the story later on. He responded to the love. He began to get better through this man who wanted to make a difference in his life. God wants to make a difference in your life. He's already done the work. He has sent the Son. Will you trust him tonight? That's a challenge to you tonight. Maybe you're unsaved. You don't know the Lord Jesus. You know all about him, but you don't know him as your personal Savior. The next one was not only the love, but this man committed. He was the despised Samaritan, just like the Lord. But this man, he committed. And the Lord committed to go to the cross, the whole way to Calvary. And he suffered and he bled and he died. And this reminds me of this man tonight. Tell me this, young people. Who would want a boyfriend or a girlfriend that was going out with you for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, for a long time? They were going out with you for years, and they kept telling you, oh, I love you. Yeah. I love you. Oh, I do, surely. But they would never, ever commit to saying, you know what? I love you that much, I want to marry you. I love you that much that I want to set up home with you. I love you that much that we want to have a family. I love you. If you thought there was someone and they just said they loved you all the time and never ever committed, you would be going, you know what? You maybe don't really love me, mate. Sling your hoop. That's what you'd be better saying. That's what they tell you, Belfast. On your bike, mate, and pedal harder. Okay? Am I right? So, there has to be commitment, isn't that right? They have to prove that they're committed. And so, if they really love you, they're going to say, right, okay, we'll settle down. We'll get married. Who knows what else can happen. All right? This man, he was committed enough to stop with them. He got down, and the Bible tells us this. You know what he did? He went right down, just like this maybe, and the man was there, and he got oil, and he got wine, and he began to bind up his wounds. It doesn't tell us where he got the cloths from. Who knows? You know what I was thinking about? Maybe he took his own coat, because this man was lying half naked. The reason he was beat up, the reason he was in the state he was in, because some boys had decided they were going to beat him up, to rob him. They took everything he had, including his clothes. And maybe this man, the Samaritan, who knows, did he take his own coat, I wonder? Did he take something off it and begin to wipe the wounds? Did he begin to do that? Did he do that? We know what he did do. He tried the best that he could do with what he had, and he made a difference. And you know, the Lord Jesus, he comes to call not the righteous, but the sinners to repentance, to bind up the brokenhearted. Maybe you're here tonight and you're brokenhearted over something that's happened in your family, something that's happened in your home. You know, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways. Please acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. I've seen it happen in my life and other people's lives here tonight. You know, He can do just that. You know, I'm going to finish off tonight. I have a stick up here, okay? And I hope Mr. Elliot doesn't get it first, or he'll beat me up. But I'm going to get it here, right? You see this stick? Where'd it go? Here, it's here. See this? I was thinking about this the other night. There was the challenge to... What was the first challenge that said? The very first one was to... Anybody know? Go ahead. You're not going to pack the sweets, but I'm not going to tell you off either. Have a go. First one was to...
Love.
Shake your hand. I'm glad someone's listening. Brilliant. The first one was to love. What was the second one to? Commit. Yes, commitment. He was committed enough to make a difference. And the last one and the final one was he was committed enough and he loved enough and he let go. There were things that man, I'm sure that man was on a journey for somewhere, for some reason. And I'm sure he was on a mission to do something. Where he was going, it doesn't tell us exactly. Okay? The man that was beat up was going between Jerusalem and Jericho. Doesn't tell us much about the Samaritan man, what his business was. But he had to let go of the thing that he was going to do. To take time out of his schedule. To come along, to go down off his donkey, his horse, whatever it was, and come down to this man. And he did that. And he bound him up. And he did the best he could. He lifted him. He got him up onto his own horse, his own beast. And he took him off. And he met the innkeeper. But he had to do something. In fact, he went the second mile. He put his hand in his own pocket. And he went to the innkeeper. There wasn't any NHS in that day. So, okay. No ambulances. Nothing. He went to the inn. And I think to me it was just like a private hospital. Because he had to pay for it. And so he paid the innkeeper. Look after him. Look after him. Do what you can for him. And you know what? He even went beyond the second mile. You know what he did? He dug that deep. He said, see if it costs any more. Set me up a tab. And I'll pay the whole lot in full when I come back. You know, the Lord has paid the price of our sin in full. If you will only receive Him tonight. Maybe there's someone in here and you need to let go. That man had to let go of his busy schedule and the things that he was doing. It reminds me of Moses. And God spoke to Moses that day and he said, Moses, what's in your hand? What's that in your hand? What is it? And Moses said, it's a rod. You know what God told him to do? Before God could do anything more with Moses, Moses was throwing up excuses. He couldn't do this because, well, his family background, you know, he was only kind of fostered and you know, he wasn't great at speaking and there's so many things Moses couldn't do what God wanted him to do. God was wanting him to step up to leadership, to do something he hadn't done before. And maybe God's speaking to you tonight. And He's saying to you, step up to the mark. Step up and do it for Me. But you know, before you can do that, you have to be like Moses. Because that's what Moses had in his hand. He had something like that. It was a rod. And you know what he had to do? He had to do something. The Lord said, cast it down. And what did Moses do? Did he hold it tightly? No, that's my rod. I need that. That's what I use to prod the sheep. And I've had it since I was a wee boy. And I can't do that. No. He simply says he cast it down. There it was. And God immediately turned that into a serpent. And Moses stood back. Was the stick the question I'm going to ask? Was it a magic stick? No. We know the answer. The stick, the power wasn't in the stick. But the power was off the creator of the stick. The power was off the one that created Moses for the purpose and plan that he had. For he was going to make him a mighty man of God to lead out tens of thousands and even millions of the Israelites. He was going to lead them out of Egypt, of bondage, and all the things that were going on. God saw it all. But you know, he had to do that one thing. I wonder tonight, are you willing? Dear unsaved person tonight, are you willing to let go? Whatever it is, it may be that gambling addiction you have, I don't know what goes on behind closed doors. We all have things in our lives. But you know, God can take those things. And if we're willing to come to the cross tonight and let go of them, God can take that sin. Whatever it is, maybe you're doing something you know is wrong. Maybe there's things in your past and you really regret it and you say, Lord, I couldn't get saved because of A, B, or C. Moses was full of excuses, but you got to give it to Moses. What did he do? He let go, and he let it go. He cast it down, and God then, we know that God, the rest of the story is history. God was able to use Moses in a mighty, mighty way. God can save you tonight, but you know, you have your bit to do, and you know, are you going to let go of your sin? Whatever it is, trust him, and you know, the Lord can take your life tonight, and he can use you in ways that you can never, ever even begin to imagine. God is the God of the second chance. And I, you know, tonight as I thought about how he loves us, how he has compassion for us, how he is committed to us in sending his Son, the Lord Jesus, to shed his precious blood at Calvary. And finally, we thought there about how we need to let go and let God. I wonder tonight, is God speaking to someone tonight? What do you need to let go? Christian, unsaved friend tonight, let go of your sin. Leave it at the foot of the old rugged cross and trust in God's finished work, and he can use you in ways that you never imagined. May God bless you tonight. I'm going to hand over to Mr. Eric.